This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's unpredictable. He's relentless. He's fearless. He's smart. He's a jerk. Oh, man, what a jerk. How would you describe Kirk Minahan?
He's talented.
He's blunt.
He's complicated.
He's the fakest tough guy I know.
He's honest.
A self-proclaimed weenie.
He's angry.
He's actually a good guy.
He's a psycho big-mouth prick.
I wish we had more Kirk Minahans.
How would you describe Kirk Minahan?
Combustible.
Unpredictable.
Venomous.
Testy.
Obnoxious.
Selfish.
Polarizing.
Pompous.
Enough about me. Let's get to the show.
It's Kirk Minahan's Enough About Me.
David Portnoy started Barstool Sports in 2003 and has exploded in popularity over the last 13 years. Portnoy has gone from sort of a cultish figure to a national figure. The public is hugely accepting of Portnoy. I wonder, is the media the same?
No, everything's moved our way, and it depends who you're doing. Before it was more dismissive, I guess, if they didn't want to deal with us. Now it's more... we had the Sports Illustrated article that was negative about us. We had the Sporting News. To me, those are more guys trying to clickbait, like use us now right. to generate traffic for themselves.
I sense that those guys don't read you guys, though. Like that's they see. So we can do that. So the Sports Illustrated, the Cauldron, I think that's what mm-hmm. it's called. The Sporting News thing from the other day, we talked about it on our show. It seems like guys who are trying. Clickbait's one thing, but I always feel like people are trying to win the day on Twitter. So everybody will tweet at them and say, that a boy. Boy, what a thoughtful piece. What a round. It's total bullshit. They don't know. They put it this way. Guys like that, when they're hanging out with their friends, I think talk a lot like the way you guys.
Which is the whole point of how
of course,
we started.
But, right? But these guys, I think, are pandering and pretending. I feel like, and that's hurt me, I feel like that's such a part of that, the media today.
I just feel like things have changed there's a lot more, and of all people to say this, me, but a lot more self-promotion for individual writers. So if you can make your name by, trashing one person, trashing a team, doing whatever, there's more ways to create buzz with, like, social media. So when you say outrageous stuff, your personal stock goes
right.
up or goes down. Whereas I don't know there's just more ways for somebody who doesn't already have a podium to get their name out there. And how do you rise above the noise? You either take on somebody that's popular or you say something that's contrary.
Sure.
And those people always stamp their feet the loudest.
No question.
So it's that's why, and I jump around, the people who invest in us, I credit them because people look at us. We've had this forever. Like, oh, we love their audience. They clearly have the audience we want to reach.
Is your audience... Because I'm older now,
yep.
right? So I started reading. Jeez, when was I picking up Barstool?
2004 is
right.
Basically
so
when it started.
So we'll call it 12 years.
Yeah.
So I was 29.
Yeah.
And now I'm 41. Is the median stayed the same, or is it gone? As I go from 29 to 41, is it now moved from 1834 to 2550, or is
it's moved, but we have pockets. So I mean, I'm on the older side, obviously. I'm
right.
38, but then we have. Kevin, who's our New York guy who just had a baby. So a lot of guys who are in that phase of the life
right.
are very interested in that.
Right.
And we have younger guys, and we've done concerts. So it's really college. It goes up. It skews because we have different writers at all different phases of their lives.
Right.
So
walk me through. So you announced last Friday, right? You made the deal last Thursday, Friday, whatever
yep.
it was. So
yep.
a week ago. When did the process, like, did you know for 6 months? Did you know for a year? When did the conversations begin with these guys?
Yeah, so basically, and I've told this story, we've always had, at different times, different investor groups, whether it be strictly money, whatever, be like, hey, do you have interest in selling? Because we're one of the few that was still just owned by a person, basically.
Right.
Most of the blogs of our size or websites were already...
They got bought out.
Yeah,
right.
they're already company, corporate,
right.
whatever. I was never interested because we were doing well. Like, I was earning a good living. I was happy. It was fun. Our guys were fun. Everyone was making money. The thing that changed with Chernin, it started weird enough, Jared Lorenzen, the fat quarterback
right,
from
right,
Kentucky.
Right.
So we've become friendly with him, and he reached out to me one day, and he's like, hey, my agent, one of his friends, asked about you. Do you mind if I pass along your contact info? I said, no, knock yourself out. So that was a warm introduction. I don't even know if I would have paid attention to these guys originally, but they mentioned Jared. So the Chernin Group, I spoke with the guy, Mike Kearns, and he flew from San – and this is always – I always tell with people like this. A lot of times people say, hey, we're interested. Fly out to L.A.
Well, how many of those meetings have you had in the last 6 years?
Probably like 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
okay.
No.
All right, go ahead.
And to the point, I'd stop taking them. And you learn little things, but there's little. Like, if someone wants you to go to them, they're not that interested.
Right.
Whereas Mike, the people who ended, he once I said, yeah, I'll meet with you, he literally got on a plane from San Francisco. I was having dinner with him the next night. And from the first meeting, I felt like there was a good chance this could always go. Now, I'd never gone that far down the process, so I was like, well, maybe there's things I don't know about this.
Right.
We break this down. We hadn't talked price. We hadn't talked anything.
Right.
But the original conversations that turned me on or really was like, all right, I'm taking this seriously, is from the beginning, he's like, I love the voice. I love the content. Mm-hmm. We do not want to change that. We want you to still be totally in charge of content. And he was never, hey, this is what we think we should do. He basically said, if I gave you a blank check, what would you do?
Right.
And a lot of people are having a hard time believing that. But so the New York thing putting us all together.
So what's your answer to that question?
What's that?
We have a blank check. What are you going to do?
We're moving everybody.
You're moving to New York. Okay.
Yeah, we're going
to. Why do you have to do that? So, you know, I like Simmons still. But I do feel like when I listen to Simmons, I don't know if you read him or listen to him as much as you used
anymore.
To. Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So he moves out to L.A., and when I hear him talk about the Celtics or the Red Sox or the Patriots now, it does sound like somebody who's not in the middle of it.
Right.
Does it concern you at all that if you live in New York for 10, 12, 15 years, whatever, you might become one of those guys who's, like right now, today with this Chandler Jones thing, or especially the last year, the craziest fucking year I think ever with Deflategate,
right.
You were really in the middle of it.
Right.
Do you ever worry about yourself being on the outside of that?
No, you know, I really thought about it, and there's not one blog I won't write in the future that I wouldn't have written now. Like, I didn't get any of my information or anything from Deflategate from walking around the streets and
talking to people.
You don't
think so? You think it's different when you wake up in the morning here and you're walking around? You really don't?
No. I don't walk around. I mean, I literally, like, I didn't talk. The only people I talked to is the people in the office. And
what does that mean? You know, what do you mean you don't walk around?
I mean, I don't walk around.
So when do you get up in the morning? You got up this morning.
I wake up in the
right.
morning. I type on the computer, take a shower. Usually I jump in my car, drive direct to work, go into the office, and then just go back to my house and work from my house. So for me, there's literally no intro. I'm not listening, no offense to you guys, but I don't listen to, like, talk radio.
At all. I believe you, because I remember the thing with me and Aaron Andrews a couple of years ago. You wrote about it, and you defended me, and you basically said, I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but this is – and you always – and you'll say it at both stations,
if
right?
If a story breaks, I'll go see what it is, but – EEI or 98.5, they put all their content that's interesting. I'll never hear it live. I'll get an email, be like, you hear what's going on at the station, and then I'll go check it out.
Right.
So I'm not going to stop checking out. I'm not going to stop. We're going to have basically, you know, an office that's plugged into every sports in the
world.
Why
does it have to be there, though?
Because we're going to try to get a lot more, like, I'm your number one guest here, all right, for this podcast.
Right.
As you go down your line of podcast guests, I don't know how easy it's going to be to be continually getting like.
Well, you're
going to
come in every week, right?
Right. Awesome guests.
Right.
We want to include, we're trying to become much more interesting. There's two reasons. With content, unique content, video, and we want to include celebrities, and it's.
Like who? Like, give me an example. Just like John Krasinski or somebody? Or
everybody. So, but when people do, like, media tours. Like
they come to New York and not Boston.
Correct.
Right.
So we want to be part of those media tours, get them in. We want the athletes hanging out at our office. That was one huge part of it. And we were told the type of people we need, like tech people, video people.
Are better there.
Easier to hire talent in New York for that type of stuff to draw them in than it is in Boston. The other side is, which was kind of a non-starter right off the bat, is our New York guys won't move. So the New York guys, originally I said, would you come to Boston? This is before the investment.
How many guys is this?
Who wouldn't move or total?
No, just a total. When you're talking about this.
We have 15.
Okay.
But so there's the guy who started all the podcasting for us, Kevin.
Right.
KFC.
Yep.
He's based in New York, just had a kid.
Okay.
Wife has a job, didn't want to move. And this, again, was before term.
Right. And you, right. Go ahead.
So it was like, would you guys all be interested in coming to Boston? He's like, we can't. I can't do it. So I was willing to move. I don't think it's going to – I agree with you on the Simmons thing. But a huge difference.
So why – okay, you're right. What's the difference?
Simmons went to ESPN.
Right.
So he was filtered. Like, there were things he couldn't say. There are things he couldn't watch.
But, Dave, here's my number.
And he's national.
But here's my number two point on that is I think it's great right now because I feel like this is how it works all the time. Somebody makes a great announcement. I'm really happy for you because it's great. I think that's fantastic for you. And you hear, they're not going to touch this at all. They're going to have no editorial control at all. And then 18 months later, you're writing the fuck you to the guys who said that I would have complete control because right. they step in and say something. You write something or somebody else writes something about, I don't know, whatever's in that SI story. Pick one of yep. those examples. All of a sudden, these guys are starting to get, for the first time, they're starting to get blowback from people in their lives, and then they start talking to you. What happens then? When person X says, you know, you probably shouldn't write that about that lady.
Right.
You probably shouldn't write that about this reporter. What happens then? Do you just say, you have complete control just to say, go fuck yourself?
I do. And now, whether I would, I judge it all in this situation. Someone brought up the sales analogy, which that the sales will be the most common, probably the most likely push-pull because we
with
have
the sales department, you mean?
What's that?
What do you mean, the sales? What do you mean?
When we have a full-blown sales department and they're trying to sell the corporate sponsors.
I deal with it every day.
Right,
no
right.
question, right?
So
right.
that will be the number one, you know, push-pull of, hey, you can't do this or we want you to do this. And I'll treat it the same way I treat it now. It's not my own pocket the money is going into, but I won't change the voice. And people keep saying that. You say it's not going to change, it's not going to change. I can promise people I would have never done this deal if I thought in my heart. Now, like what you said, all right, Dave, you honestly believe it's not going to change, but a year down
that's
the road.
That's always act one, though, is my point. That's
correct.
Right.
So in our contracts, it's pretty, and we had our lawyers, their lawyers, it's pretty clear
right.
that I have complete control of the content. Now, if they fire me or something like that, because of it, which they theoretically could, hey,
right.
I actually, that would be the greatest thing ever if I got like fired right now.
Right, you'd be
because
done.
I, you know, it. They will be heavily penalized. But again, where they've come at this, which is not the Simmons or anything, they view it as like you guys are Howard Stern.
Right.
You're stirring the pot. It's not we're trying to go PC on this. It's
right.
trying to be the alternative voice, and we love what, like, we talked about the size 6 skinny jean joke. We talked about Brady's dick. We talked about all that stuff.
Right.
And they were all like, I don't want to say we love it, but
talking about Brady's son's dick.
Right.
Not Brady's dick.
Brady's son's dick.
Yes, just yeah. I just want to get
yeah.
the
yeah.
penis.
And
you did talk about Brady's dick as well?
No.
That didn't come up?
No.
Okay.
Infants, like maybe a one-year-old who had an abnormally huge hog. That's what we talked about.
Right.
And it was like a Gerber baby kid. So, yeah, let's clear that because Ordway will probably listen to this and go for
four more
hours
that
on
a minute,
that.
But go ahead.
So, again, I don't – everybody can say, oh, the content's
going
to change.
You can understand why I'd be cynical.
Well, everyone's saying that.
Wouldn't you be if – you know, that's a – if the story – if you read about somebody else doing it, you'd say, oh, okay.
The only thing that I wouldn't be cynical about is I've been brutally honest with our readers forever, and I've said I'll sell out.
True.
I've said
if you
give me the right check – poof, I'll be gone or I'll do whatever you want to do.
Right.
We're not there yet. I didn't make enough money where I'm living in a castle somewhere. So I don't believe we can work if our content changes. So I would have never in a million years taken it this far and then been like, okay, let's change what I think makes us successful, because I don't think that – I think it would blow up.
Right.
So I'll say this. If it changes and the skeptics are right, the most surprised guy in the room would be me. I honestly – there's a lot of things that may go wrong with this. Mm-hmm. I don't think – content changing is I don't change.
Right.
You'll have to fire me.
So when you sit in a room with these guys and you talk about Brady's kid's penis, what is the conversation?
Well, it was more so in the beginning, like, you know what we've done.
Right.
Like, I want to make sure everyone's
you
on the same exact page. There's no shock because, I mean, and all right, the perfect example, when we announced this, all right,
mm-hmm.
They have a PR firm. And they're like, mm-hmm. and they said to me, they said, you got to sit through this PR conversation. We're going to send out a press release, announce it. We know you don't like PR.
It's the
people.
Worst, right?
Yeah. And I've killed every PR purpose. I'm fine. I'll do it. So we sat through it. And then the Sports Illustrated thing broke in the morning.
Right.
And they wanted to delay the announcement.
No, it was good for you guys.
And that was Barstool in a nutshell.
Right.
Kevin called, goes, this is perfect.
Perfect.
They called, said, this is the worst. But they want to delay it because a couple of people on their press release list had retweeted the negative article about us, and then they're going to go send an article. And
right.
I said, no. I'm like, we already said we're doing it, and there was no pushback. They get it. Again, what happens in 2 years? If the company is floundering and not making any money, then they won't be happy. I don't know.
How much longer were you going to do this before if you hadn't sold it? I mean, was it? Is there a point where you know when you when you post something, all that, you know, 90% of the comments about how old you are now. That's,
I am.
That's the
I'm
joke. Which is for the
right.
comments.
Yeah.
The comments of Barstool are the best part of Barstool, I think. I love. I seriously do. It's
they drive me nuts.
Do they really?
Yeah.
You don't
like,
find
I,
them funny?
I, some do. It used to be a lot funnier.
That's true. You're right about that.
It. I don't like people, and I've said this about Barstool, and I maintain it. And how do you judge it? I judge everything on intent. We never say anything to be cruel or like actually hurt people's feelings. I bust balls.
Well,
so, what?
I don't know about that.
Well, what?
You write anything to be cruel or to?
Are we talking about like celebrities? Or are we talking about
what
like racist shit?
Oh no, well, that's different. That's,
no,
that, that's
no,
not,
no.
That,
but
that,
I,
racism
I,
is different than being well, cruel.
No, that's cruel. Like
breaking balls is cruel. We all do it.
No, I don't think breaking balls is necessarily cruel. Like
I,
that's how I talk to my friends.
Well, so that yeah, and I think we're cool to our friends.
Okay,
which I like I don't.
So all right. So I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be cruel to Roger Goodell. I mean, that's not what I'm referring to.
Okay, I got you. Right.
I'm talking the comment sections where they say like racist stuff. We don't.
Oh, that's stupid.
Right.
Right.
So that's the problem with our comment section. We can't control that right now.
Why can't you control it?
Because it would sink us. We'd be all day. We don't have the technology.
Just all your time would be doing that.
Right. So right. We've tried, and our filtering doesn't work. So hopefully that will clean it up. I'd like at one. I like the funny people there, but there's a lot of assholes. So
right.
That's who I'd like to clear out. Because for some reason with us, people take the assholes and they say like they almost try to create this illusion that if somebody says something racist or stupid or like threatens like, hey, I'm gonna rape you to some girl, some bozo says that, somehow that's like a reflection of me.
Right.
And that I don't really like.
When you read the SI story or when you read the sporting news story, like I mean, you don't strike you're like, sort of like me in the sense I don't strike you that you get offended much.
I get
like,
mad.
Right. You get angry. Right?
Yeah. You can't offend me. I get
right.
mad.
Right.
Like, I legitimately get mad.
Right.
And it's just so hypocritical. I don't know if you saw. It was, which one was it? The Sports Illustrated one. No. The Sporting News, they put my wife in the URL, like, for SEO.
I saw that.
It's just so hypocritical. It's like, right. We're doing this. You're just using this because you know, and they're smart. I can't ignore it. Like, Dan, Big Cat, he's like, ignore it. I can't. No matter how big I get, if somebody attacks me and it like gets me mad, I attack back. But it's like, you're just doing this because you know I'm going to do that. And these people with -2 followers. And there's a lot, I feel like, and I could be wrong, there's a lot of journalism people who hate me. Because it's like they've gone to school.
No question.
They're making 20 cents an
hour.
This
woman, the one of the people in the story tweeted out that she's mad that she can't get a job and somebody else has 127,000 Twitter followers. Like, there's a correlation there.
Right.
Like, well, you're not getting a job because either A, you're not good at your job, or B, you've had shit luck. It's got nothing to do with how many fucking Twitter followers. Who was it?
It was KFC.
KFC is 127, whatever it is.
That's
how is A related to B?
That's how the whole Sports Illustrated thing started. There's this theory now that there should be a safe place on like social media. Like, you can attack us, but we just gonna sit there and take it like
right.
a punching bag.
Right.
Because I guess, you know, we're bigger, so if we even respond and be like, what are you talking about? We'll savage you. Our readers, you know, and 10 will probably go over the line, and then that makes us assholes. So it is what it is, but I can't. I'm not gonna. That girl drives me crazy. She's complaining she doesn't have a job, blah, blah. Shut up. Just shut up.
But that's out there. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. It's
right.
not going to change.
No, I know.
So I don't even know if they're mad at you. They just want to be mad at something. Like that. And I do think that's the big two things I think govern Twitter today. The need for people to applaud you and say that you're doing a great job, people on Twitter. And the other thing is faux outrage.
Right.
I mean, faux outrage is exactly what Twitter's about today. People pretending to be mad at something they don't really give a shit about. But if they say they're mad about it, you know, they might get some retweets. They might get some reaction. That's all it is today.
Yeah.
It's like 90% of it.
And everything's like, that's the other thing we do. When we go down the rabbit hole, we'll start making jokes about the rabbit hole, and then people just keep pulling those and taking them out of context. So
right.
you just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That happened with a size 6 skinny jean like thing. Every time, and I should say, I always say this, some feminists like us because they're like, the feminists who are coming after you are not the type of feminists who
that
are like after
right.
real issues.
Right.
But, you know, you make a joke and then it spirals. But I actually like it. I said this the other day. I like being in the mud. Like,
oh, me
that's
too.
My personality.
If
I'm not covered with some mud coming out of like looking like I just came in camo, I'm not really alive. So.
If you would, let's just say that you had sold Barstool and it was for whatever, the money that you would walk away from. and you would just walk away, what would you do? I mean, would you retire? Would
yes.
you go do something else?
No,
You're 38 years old.
I know, but I.
So what would you do when you're 45 or 52 if you're retired?
I'm pretty comfortable being lazy. That's like I could golf, I could go to a beach. I'd probably gamble and then have to work again. But I'm pretty comfortable at doing nothing.
That's easy to say because you don't. But you haven't had that, though.
No, I've never had that.
So how do you know that? You might be fucking bored after 6 months.
Because you know what?
Then you can't do this
like,
again.
Like, I went to Nantucket for a month and, like, had no urge. Yeah, it's only a month.
Yeah, you're 38, Dave. You're talking about 40 years. That's about 450 months.
I think I could be pretty good at being lazy.
You think so?
I really do.
But you're not, though.
Well, I'm not now because...
How many hours a week do you work at this thing?
A million. I don't know. A lot. But the thing
is... 7 days a week?
Oh, yeah. Because sports never ends.
Well, I know that, but you know,
yes.
People take days off.
No.
How many hours a day?
Well, I had started retracting because we have more people now. So in the beginning, right. I never could. But, you know, when I go to Nantucket now, I'd unplug. I was planning if we didn't do the sale, I was going to spend the whole summer there. And I chime in occasionally. What I find with what we do is either you got to unplug totally,
or you can't unplug at all. No, when I go away, it's one or the other. Because if you get stuck and you check Twitter
I got to talk about this. I got to get involved in this.
God forbid you miss something while you're gone. Then you feel like And meanwhile, you should be able to step away and have some perspective, but I have none.
Like, I don't either.
The world doesn't. Does it really matter if you and I don't weigh in on one story?
Right. No.
In today's world where it has the shelf life of a fart.
But here's where I'm kind of fucked up, because I honestly believe it does.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. It's like you hear it. It's like it doesn't matter what I say, but at the same time, it very much does.
You know, I have the kind of fucking ego where so I was off whatever last 2 weeks of December for radio, but that Sunday I was off the Monday after the Manning HGH story broke and Belichick elected to kick off in overtime.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there thinking, should I just come in on Monday? I mean, the fucking ego of me to think that people are like, oh my God, Kirk Minahan can't, you know, I'm going to say the same thing everybody else says.
That's the mindset. That's the mindset.
I know, but that's not healthy. That's not a healthy way to go through life.
You know what, though? It's 1,000,000,000. What were you doing before this? I've heard you were rich. Were you privately rich before you started this?
I grew up in Winchester, and my family had some means, certainly. I've not struggled in my life.
What were you doing before this?
Before I was at the, I've been writing the EI on the website for like 10 years.
Oh, I didn't know.
9
that.
Years, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I've been doing this for a long time.
Took you a long time to break through on the radio,
yeah,
huh?
No shit. Well, you know how, I think you know how it works. But I can't picture not doing it now, you know, and I think I have a contract now, and I think, boy, when that's done, can I retire? And I think, yes, but then I think, what am I going to do? It's addicting. Like, it's addictive. What you do. What is over there, for some reason, it gets in your head and you can't fucking
get rid
of it.
I agree. It's easier to talk, I think, than write.
Like, No. The easiest thing in the world is not to write. No question.
Right.
No question.
So that's a grind. Like, you're sitting there getting it
sucks.
Out. You want to, and especially when you, like, have all these grandiose things you want to get out, like the Deflategate essays I'd be writing,
right.
which I want to write, but they take forever. I don't know. I mean, yes. It's not healthy, but at the same time, my job before this sucked. Like, I was doing sales. So
right, that sucks.
I totally appreciate the fact that I enjoy what I'm doing.
Right.
But at the same time, I'd love just to be on, like, a permanent vacation. I know what you're saying. Maybe I would get
you
bored. I don't know.
You're fucked up. You're driven. You're obsessed. Right. You said you get angry about stuff. There'd be no place for that. That anger that you still have would exist, but it would be like, you know, it would just be festering as you sat around on the beach or played golf.
Serenity Now. It would be like the Seinfelds.
you think it would be? So, all right. So let's. So EEI, the Brady. You know what's funny is I actually did.
You were on the air for that, right?
The Mikey Show, the show after.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was on the Mikey Show, the show after. Glenn did his show, and he was. Glenn's in there, right? We can see Glenn from here.
He's a liar.
Glenn was. We'll get into that. Glenn was ranting and raving and going crazy. And I'll tell you what I said on the air then. I wouldn't tell you not to do it. But if it was me personally, I probably wouldn't have published the picture.
Right.
Just between you and me, I probably wouldn't have run with it that way. But that led to a thing. So you were on with John and Jerry like every week for a while,
I was doing,
right?
The morning show.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was fun. You were doing well. You were hanging in there. And my problem with EEI at the time with Wolfie and all the guys is, and Callahan says this all the time, is the next day I would have had you in there to discuss it, to talk about it. Instead, and correct me if I'm wrong, they just said, you're done. Goodbye.
Correct. They didn't even tell me. I read it actually on a press release that I had been fired.
Oh, that night or the next day or something?
The next day or two things. Like, WEI doesn't condone it. And I think they said they didn't have my phone number to Right. They want to get me on the air. They didn't have my number.
Which is bullshit, right?
Obviously a lie since I was on there.
Right.
Here's my thing with it. I have zero problem with your take. I have zero problem with anyone who disagreed with it. I listened to it, and it was obviously one-sided, which, whatever. You're trying to get ratings. But it sort of made it sound like I was in the bush, like taking the picture of the toddler.
Which you were, right? Correct?
And not the fact that the photo was already widespread throughout the internet. It wasn't like I went hunting for it. It was multiple places. But that's fine. My big thing, and again, I don't even care that they killed me. My big thing is Ordway. I went to like an event. It was like a Milton's event. And he was there. And
this is before?
No, after. And
Oh, this is like last year, two years ago, right?
And he came up. And tried to, like, bury the hatchet. And he said, we only talked about it for, like, a half an hour on the first segment.
Did he really say that?
Yes.
God, that's bullshit. That is bullshit.
So it's like, you're just lying to my face. And he was adamant. It's like, you did it for 2 days, like, straight. Right. You beat it into the ground.
Right.
Even his old producer, he came up. He's like, no, I don't know what he's saying right there. So it's just, I don't care if people disagree with it. But they were making fairly strong accusations, and if they weren't directly, the callers were. And I just, like, let me talk what you kind of said. Let
me
say my piece on this,
right?
As opposed to just being like, no, he's done, he's fighting. I get it. I don't know if they had the relationship with Brady at the time or whatever.
They did. He was on,
so I mean, I'm sure that factors into it.
No,
I will
no
say,
question.
Jerry texted me, and he's like, it's bullshit the way they handle
it. I know
it.
He felt that way,
you should be on to at least, because those guys didn't agree with it. Now, again, I never care if people agree. I stand by
that.
It's
better if you don't.
Right. So I could have, and you know, I actually went on Emily Rooney, of all people, is now like my, I don't know if you know who that is.
I've been on her show before.
She's like, yeah. So of all people, she had me on, and we had the whole discussion. And at the end, she's like, you know what? I came into this like wanting to hate you, thought I was going to hate you. I think you brought up like fair points. I think, you know, I understand your point of view. I don't have to agree with it. And that's all. Like, the fact I had a relationship with the station at the time, that's what it was like, really? I mean, the quote that people had, though, was perfect, because EEI was not doing well at the time.
No,
but it's
before
I've
gotten the air. Yeah,
yeah, right. The Batman quote. In their time of need, they turned to a man they didn't fully understand.
But that was always my thing, and I would talk to Jason Wolf, the old program director, about it. And I said, if you're going to bring this guy in,
right?
Like, it's only a matter of time before something like this happens. You can't. It's a much smaller extent, but sometimes this happens with me, is that they want me to be sort of whatever, you know,
right.
And I'll do that, and then they get mad at me, and you want to say, well, what do you want? Like, it was inevitable that was going to happen, and that's fine if these guys have the balls and the guts to say, we're back, and then we know what we got into, we're bringing him in because his fans like him.
Right.
And then when you write something that's controversial, fine. First blush, gone. Goodbye.
Right.
Couldn't have been handled worse.
And it wasn't. We're a different company. I'm not representing WEEI.
Right.
You know, this is Barstool Sports. Love them, hate them, whatever. But I'm in here talking about it. But it's not representative of EEI if you don't like it. That's like your thing with Hubick. Like, I'm not exactly sure you got kicked off the air. Is that
correct?
If that happened to me, I mean, my head would explode.
Well, I try. I mean, I went scorched earth the best I could. I mean, you know the story. I think you wrote about it. I went on with Tangway. We did the show, and I made a joke about the Krafts hiring somebody to murder Goodell, which, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that the Krafts have a real plot to murder Goodell. I know you'd want that to happen.
Right,
you've advocated for the murder of Goodell.
Right. That's one of the advantages of being
Right. But, I mean, but so Hubick edits the tape and sends it out in a tweet.
Yeah.
And I'm on the phone with the Comcast guys and I. They're laughing about Hubick. They're like, this guy's a joke. Don't worry about it. Next day, not so much. The day after that, maybe the NFL starts talking. And just like that, it's over. You can't win. You can't sit here. I can't sit on a microphone and make my case. It's over. Once it's over, it's over. Once it's out there. And it drives me crazy. That drives me so fucking crazy that people are.
It's surreal.
Just gutless. Just instead of just saying, Hubick's a troll, Hubick's a tool, we know you're kidding, we know your sense of humor, this is why we like you, this is why we want you to be on Comcast a lot more even.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, the first sign of trouble, they say, no, you're gone, goodbye, thanks for 5 years of hard work, hit the road.
And that, in a nutshell, is what I'm banking on with these guys, that they're going to stick by. They know that's coming, and they're going to stick by it. We'll see. But it's insane. The double standards, I always say this. It's like, you know, and this shows my age, but you could go something about Mary or American Pie. Like, how come jokes in movies like that, like are fine. Like you can make fun of, like they made, and this word's not PC, but in Something About Mary, you can just make fun of retarded people.
Right.
But if you do those jokes as jokes somewhere else, yeah, but, you're Satan.
But Dave, here's the difference. I honestly, like that was 98. It's just 2016. It's 18 years later. If they made Something About Mary, they would not make jokes. Like the Matt Dillon speech, yeah. My passion is my hobby. I work with retards.
Yeah.
He would not make that speech today, don't think.
The only good thing, and it's helped me, and it's helped Barstool, is there is definitely that movement of the public, and you can be louder because of social media, but it's also pissing people off. So it's driving almost more people to us.
What do you mean? The angry.
Yeah, because there's now it's like a real extreme version, but like the Trump.
I was going to say, explains the popularity of Trump.
Right.
There's an itch out there.
Right. It's enough of the PC shit. Let's go the other way. And we aren't PC. Not really on purpose. We just talk like guys talk.
We haven't changed, I think, is everything else has changed, and it's scary. It's scarier and scarier and scarier because I don't know where it ends. Like, you know. Kirk Schilling tweets something about radical Islam and he loses his job. Like,
well, he's crazy. I mean,
yeah, but so what? I mean, his tweets,
I'm not saying he should have lost his job, but his tweets are a little
he's
bit
extreme,
like,
there's no doubt. But, you know, in my mind, it's a total fantasy world. Why can't Schilling go on with like Bob Lee or whoever the fuck ESPN wants to put on with him and have a discussion with him on the air as opposed to just saying, go away. We don't want to hear from you. Close the door. Go away for 6 months.
All advertisers, right? I mean, it's got to be.
You think somebody's going to pull out of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball because Kurt Schilling tweeted something?
We lost Milton's we lost all our.
Because of Brady?
For like 2 weeks, everybody's like, we're out.
Well, Fox pulled advertising with us over the Aaron Andrews thing.
Which was another crazy one.
Well, I will just say this, and I appreciate that you had my back during that, but you know you've done radio. There are words that you, even if it's not wrong, there are things you know in 2014, it was at the time, you can't say.
It's my
responsibility to know what to say and not to say. The reaction to it is different.
I assume you're aware of my size 6 skinny.
Yes, team, I am.
Which
I am.
Follows anytime someone gets mad at us, it's right. like 10, right. 9, right. 8, right. so right. it comes right. out. I made that joke. I didn't hear about it for 4 years. It only started when someone got mad at us because we were doing like blackout parties and they went back and researched everything and found it. But, you know, you can take anything out of context. So it's just, and again, I don't back down from it.
So what changes? What's different like a year from now at the site? What's going to be different? Anything?
Yeah, I think that we're going to have a lot more unique content. Like, and when I say video, a lot more video. We're also getting into podcasting. Everybody does it. Mm-hmm. But, we're going to have a lot. See, we're not together, so it makes things hard. So
what do you mean? Oh, somebody's in...
We're all remote.
Right. His face is in Iowa, right?
Yeah. Trent.
Right. Carabas will be here.
Carabas will be here.
Right.
Dan was in Chicago. Kevin's New York.
Right.
So a lot of the videos we do that people like are when they're character-driven. We're doing different stunts, whatever.
Yeah.
Being together, I think, will make a big difference. As far as the technology... People are like, we like the fact there's a squirrel who lives in your office. We like the fact you can't get things to work. But it's still frustrating that we actually can't get things to work.
Right, but isn't it the idea if Barstool is like the smooth-running operation, it's the charm of it is gone.
That's what a lot of people say. I think the charm of it, or what I'm banking on, is us. And I don't think we're changing. I think people like us regardless of where we are. But, for example, if we go pitch, you know, we did a mock Shark Tank with Mark Cuban, right?
Right, right.
We had no sound. You couldn't hear what they were saying.
Right.
So if we get Mark Cuban to sit down with us for an hour, we'd prefer to be
the
able to hear.
Sound work.
Yeah,
yes,
right. And we literally like can't do that. We can't work video
on
the
website.
Well,
you should work here at Portnoy. There's about a 60% chance that none of this will be caught, or just you, or just like half of me, and it'll make. And we've
I've never been
an
in
hour
a podcast studio. I'm like, stunned. There's a lot of things. I don't know how
well,
much of it's
the,
useful.
You did the Carabas one, right? Where'd you do that?
He came to my house.
I did it with him and the other kid.
Yeah.
Pete Blackburn.
Yeah.
I did at Blackburn's house. It was like on a Saturday morning. I went there.
You went there?
Yeah. There were some dogs there. I went downstairs.
You didn't make them come to you.
Well, I don't want them. Do you want them in my house?
Oh, I didn't care.
Really?
Yeah, they sat in my kitchen.
They did, and you just did it there for...
Yeah, I wasn't driving to their place.
Yeah.
So he came with all this equipment set up for an hour. I mean, he's another one. He's worked really hard.
He's good.
He's
good. He works hard. He's a smart kid. He understands it. But that's... You know, what's funny about it now is like... You and I in this city are like kind of young, and we're old. Like I feel old when I wake up in the morning. If you look at the, you know, Glenn's on the air, John's on the air, Dale's on the air, Felger's older than we are. you know, most of these guys are still, Shaughnessy's still kicking around, Buckley's still kicking around. Who our age and younger is ready to, who's the, I think you need assholes. Borges is an asshole. I know you probably don't like him, but you need
him. He's not a funny asshole, though.
No, he's not. He's a humorless asshole. Shaughnessy is an asshole. But you need Shaughnessy in your life, don't you think?
No, I don't remember.
You don't think so?
No, I think they've made huge, huge errors.
You don't think you need a contrarian voice?
But they're contrarian to, like, I would be the bare minimum. Like, they're just growing old. I agree with that.
So who's going to take over is my point.
Well, exactly. But the biggest ringing endorsement of Boston media is that Simmons couldn't get a job. I mean, that really should tell you everything you need to know. Right. I mean, he's maybe the most talented writer of the generation.
He's the most famous sports writer in America today.
Right, but even when he was, like, I read him Digital City Boston every day.
Right.
Anybody who couldn't see how talented he was.
Was that an influence for you?
Oh, yeah, Simmons is a big influence.
Because you know what he wrote?
I don't like Simmons, but he's a big influence.
I'm talking like personally. I'm talking like 98, 99. You would get them emailed to you. I don't know if you remember this.
I think I had Hotmail or AOL.
He would send links to stories, which you never had before. And then he would like shit on EEI and shit on like sports announcers. And I thought the ultimate appeal of Simmons at that time was, oh, this is like what I talked when I'm talking to my friends on the phone, or I'm out fucking drinking with my friends, which is your appeal too.
Right.
Why don't you like Simmons now? Is he taking shots at you?
I don't want to say a long exchange, but so when we started Barstool back in the day, I had a sales background. I can be very aggressive. I was very aggressive. So I reached out, ignored. When we started the newspaper, and I had these grand concepts of getting him involved that were probably naive and never would have happened.
These are the ESPN then.
He was actually at Kimmel.
Oh, it was in between?
Yeah, it was before.
Right.
And then he started paying attention as we started getting bigger. And really, it was just, he wouldn't like do anything. He wouldn't give us an interview. He wouldn't give us the time of day, only till we were successful. And he came across to me as extremely, in the beginning, thin-skinned. Like, and a lot of people who were doing it would say, like, he'd shoot emails if you mentioned him, be like, why'd you say this about me?
No, there's definitely some of that.
Things of that nature. You know when he reached out was the John Dennis Rotillo.
Yeah.
Like, he reached out. He's like, you have something great. But he just always came across as kind of a jerk to me in our private interactions. Like, when he sold his book, he sent an email, like, you'll never believe how many copies. Like, I don't fucking care.
Did he really just randomly email that to you?
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know you do. Like,
really?
Why? Yeah.
Jesus.
But I've always said this about him. He also did something when he turned. So I sent him the questions for the interview, which he accepted. I said, you can read it before I put it out.
Right.
Took the questions, and then he got back to me and said he didn't want to do it because he didn't want too much media exposure, which that kind of set me off because he was doing everything at that point.
Right.
But, you know, he's the most talented writer I've ever read. I don't think he's good at radio. I don't think he's good at TV.
I don't think so either.
I mean, his 30 for 30s are like awesome.
Right, but he isn't. But he's producing them. He's not on air. So, I don't think he's an on. I think I agree with that.
In little things now he does. Like, I don't know if you saw this when the NBA draft, and they acted like they caught his reaction to the Celtics by
surprise. James
Young. Yeah,
it was bullshit.
But it's you don't know they're going to be on you for the Celtics.
Right. Seemed fake to me.
And so that's the difference between me and Simmons.
But I would say it's hard. I like Simmons and I get along pretty well with him, but it's hard for me to go with this maverick image when you leave ESPN, you go to HBO. If he had left ESPN and gone rogue and started his own site, I would have said, I'm giving this guy a lot of credit. Now, I don't blame him. He's probably getting like $7 or $8 million
a year. Oh, I don't blame him for that. But he tries to be this tough guy. Where's all this information? Like, ESPN better not suspend me or else I'm going to write this all. Well, what'd you write?
We never heard it. That's true.
Nothing.
That's true.
So, again, a little difference. I'm going to say the difference between me and Simmons.
Go ahead.
And I hate people like this, and you could be one of them.
The fucking ego in you right now.
Guys who talk about gambling and then bet like a $5 chip, and that's Simmons. Simmons has this profile. I've said this always. Simmons, great writer. If you're going to go get a beer with somebody, you're going to pick me 100 out of 100 times over Simmons because Simmons' personality is vanilla. He's vanilla in like a real life. So when you say, I'm born with edge. Like, if you touch me, you're just going to get cut. Like, and that's not new to doing this. That's always how I've been my whole life. Simmons is the ball you can like roll down the hill. He wants to be like the edgy guy, but he's not in person. So that's why the edge is going nowhere with Barstool. I'm not worried about losing that just because that's the nature of who I am. Simmons, he wrote an article about how he couldn't sleep on a way back from a Vegas flight because he lost like $700. And from that point on, I was like, this guy's
changed
a fraud.
Everything for you?
That changed a lot. It's like, you lost $700, dude. I lose that in VIG before I roll about out of bed on Boston before I get on the plane.
Your gambling thing to me, I was never a big gambler.
Oh, I'm a degenerate.
I know you are. It's how much do you gamble? How much money do you spend? What's the most you've ever lost gambling?
I mean, in a week?
Yeah.
Like six figures.
What is the point of that?
Because you can win six figures.
Yeah, but you're not. I guarantee you're down in your career.
Rush. Oh, am I down?
Yeah,
I've won the last 4 weeks. It's the first 4 weeks I've won in 20 years.
But do you get joy from the process?
Yeah, it's probably just being like a drug addict,
which I am. Yeah. I don't drink. I don't drink and do drugs anymore.
It's the rush of it.
Right, but I stopped. You should stop.
I love it.
I don't think you just said you don't love it.
No, I hate it and I love it. Like that Clemson, Alabama.
Can you watch Clemson, Alabama without gambling on it?
Yes, I would.
Can you watch a game? So you can watch any game without gambling on it?
I'll have a hard time watching a baseball game.
You go to Atlantic City a lot now that you're in New York?
No.
That's not a bad drive.
No. I don't like playing cards.
Oh, you don't?
No, I mean a little bit, but not like the rush. See, but the end of Clemson, Alabama.
Right. It was wild, right.
Clemson threw that touchdown, and I had Clemson, I won. That feeling, that's like a one in a million.
Do you think you're going to be able to – do you like to drive?
Drive?
Yeah.
Like a car?
Yeah, to get out and do drives. Like a long drive?
No.
You know, because I couldn't live in Manhattan.
I'm telling you, I'm living in Manhattan.
You're going to feel trapped in Manhattan.
I will feel trapped. But again,
leave the house.
If I'm in this room right here, what's it matter where it is?
Yeah, but you're married, right? Doesn't your wife like to go and do things?
Like, all right, so I live in the South End.
Right.
I go Giacomo's in the South End is like my favorite restaurant.
Right.
I go there maybe seven times a week. I mean, I'm a creature of habit. So wherever I land in New York, I'll find two or three places.
Does she like being married to somebody who's a creature of habit and doesn't go outside? I mean, I'm as miserable as you are, too.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't hate it. We'll go out to dinner or something.
Yeah. She's okay with just packing up and moving, going to New York?
Yeah.
I mean,
she gets to ride her horses. We're making more money. She was with me in the beginning, so she was driving. I had a broken down, basically Astro van. Well, that was the Astro van was two. So she was there from day one. Now she's happy. She's, we have more money than we ever thought we would. I think she's happy about that.
I don't think you're going to like living in New York.
A lot of people, I don't think I'm going to like living in New
York.
That's
a big deal.
Got to do it for the company.
That's the
other thing about Simmons. Simmons likes L.A.
Oh, no, quite. No, he has wrapped himself into L.A. And I will say this in your defense, if I'm trying to make the Simmons comparison, living in L.A., and I lived in California, I lived in San Diego, is a fucking lot different than living in New York. I mean, when you live in L.A., you're in a different world.
Right.
It's a different universe. It's warm. You're 3 hours removed from it. You know, it's a six-hour flight. It's a totally laid-back. You become laid-back out there. New York is still anger and edge. And
it's just going to grow. Like, I think I'll just become more hateful, which isn't bad for what we do in New York. Like, when I hate it. Like, I hate Penn Station. I hate all the people.
It's disgusting.
So dirty. So I actually, in a weird way, it's gonna raise my hate profile. I'm kind of looking forward. It's always fun, and I don't care what anybody says. It's more fun to go to road games. Like, so if you're a Patriot fan on the road, that's always fun. So I am looking forward to that aspect, going to all the teams. Like, I don't know how many games I've gone to of Red Sox, Celtics, and Patriots. I don't go because we don't have press passes, so I don't have a computer. So I'm generally blogging these games. So that won't change. I'm not there unless, it's like the Super Bowl and I got the Media Day pass thing.
Portnoy's the first guest. I appreciate it, Dave, as always. Good luck in New York. When is your first working day in Manhattan going to be?
We don't know. So we have a blank slate office. It's going to be built out totally May-ish.
Where is it?
Where is the office?
Yeah.
It's near Penn Station.
It's near Penn Station?
Yeah.
Penn Station.
I think.
Is Penn Station still a shithole?
Yes.
Really?
Flatiron?
Oh, yeah. That area there?
Yeah.
That's a good spot.
I'd never heard of it but that's where it is.
And you're going to live in the city.
Yep.
You're going to be a city guy. You're going to be one of these assholes walking around Central Park with your New York, Sunday New York Times and in your cappuccino.
Listen, that's not
You're going to be a total city. You're going to go to these shows on Broadway. You're going to be hanging out with Lena Dunham and all the beautiful people.
Lena Dunham's all the beautiful people.
Yeah, well, all the people that people like, all the accepted people in the world of of the internet, of Twitter, the 100% approval rating people.
No, we will always be, I think, like the pirate ship of the internet. But again, big city, we're trying to turn it into a $100 million company. Like, that's what we're trying to do. It's easier to do it in New York than it is in Boston. It is. It's a fact. I love Boston. I hate New York.
You'll come back here when you're done?
Yes.
No question.
No. Well,
you're not going to be one of these guys who falls in love with New York.
I will not be in New York more than my contract requires me. Whether I go, I would go somewhere warm to retire.
Yeah, I don't under. Yeah, no question, right?
Right.
Can you imagine, like, people love the
I mean, even
like,
out here. I was thinking, so I'm a millionaire now. So as I was walking into the office,
right.
I was like, there should be underground tunnels for millionaires.
I agree with that.
Only millionaires can use in cold weather.
Right. Strictly for millionaires.
What
if you make, like, $600,000 a year?
Nope.
You're out.
Nope.
$800,000.
Nope.
A million, you're in.
You have a millionaire card.
Right.
There should be millionaire cards in general.
All right, Portnoy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.